If you're ready to take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. I was debating all week where to end up at with this evening, but I think we're going to end up here in Exodus chapter chapter 31. We're going to look at here about some workmen, and to keep the theme of the week. If everybody could stand, if you're able to stand and turn to Exodus chapter 31, and Brother Carr could read verse 1-6 for me, please, Brother Carr. Pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the sweet spirit tonight, Lord. We thank you for the way that you're working, for the prayer request. Lord, we pray you'd have your way in those, and for the praises, we thank you for those. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for being God. Thank you that you love us and you care for us. Thank you that your grace is all sufficient. Lord, I pray now you bless your word tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. When we started the Institute last month, we started there in Exodus chapter 25. And when we saw how the Lord had brought Moses up to the mountain there, he gave some instructions. And then we see that he gave instructions for the core of the tabernacle. That was the fence that surrounded the tabernacle. It was 150 feet long. It was 75 foot wide. It had a gate in the front. And then we see how he gave instructions. As they go through the east gate, the first thing that he told Moses to have built when come off the mountain was a brass altar there. He gave the instructions for the brass altar. There's a lot of workmanship there in that brass altar. And then the next thing that he gave Moses all the dimensions for, he told what to build is a brass labor, and then it went on after the labor. Then he went on to a tabernacle. He told him build that. It was 20 boards on one side, 20 boards on another side, eight boards in the back is overlaid with gold, and all the foundation of it was all silver. It had four coverings over top of that. He gave all the structures, all the ownership on that. Then when it said that large tent like structure on the left was a candlestick. It was pure meat and gold. He gave all the instructions for that, and then the instructions for the showbread. Then we saw he gave the instructions of a labor of incense, all the instructions for that thing. And then order to have the veil there between the labor of incense, and then how the Ark of the Covenant, and all that. Here God gave for five chapters. God gave Moses all instruction after instruction. I got to thank you. Here they've been slaves for all these years. They've been slaves down in Egypt. That they had mixed the straw and the mud, and here they had instructions. It's one ton of gold was needed to overlay everything, 3 3/4 ton of silver for all the foundations they overlaid, and 2.5 ton of brass. It was equivalent of $13 million today if you was just to buy the materials. Just those materials alone for the tabernacle, it was $13 million. And here these slaves, all these years, and now Moses just gave, I mean, God just gave Moses the instructions how to build a place where he could meet with the people of God. These slaves had not been in the fine arts and crafts. They had not been involved all these things. And so that brings it up to Exodus chapter 31 now. When we see, and then the Lord said, speaking to Moses, saying, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah." We see here that the first thing I want to look at tonight is some of the workmen that God was going to supply. He says, "See, I've called thee by name Bezalel, of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah." The first thing about this man, we see that he's from the tribe of Judah. That was one of the favorite tribes. We see that he was a helper of Aaron. Whenever Moses was away, he's always a helper of Aaron. He was the grandson of Hur, who held up the hands of Moses. And we saw that he was called by name. He was like a who's who in the tribe of Judah. That's the first worker that God was going to use. The second worker is down in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And I, behold, I have given with him Eliab, the son of Ishmael, the tribe of Dan." We see the second worker that God had called was Aholiab. And we see the thing about Aholiab. We see that he was from the tribe of Dan. His tribe was less favored, and there's not much mention of him. So we have the first, second, and then on down to the third worker, and then the last part of verse 6. "And I beheld, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ismach, that the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all are wise-hearted, have I put wisdom, that they may make all that command thee." It says, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom. So what we see here with wise-hearted, it's folks that had a inborn skill to do things right. They had somebody that had the ability or the inborn skill to do what's right. So we see the first worker was a person that is very favored. We see the second person was not so much of a who's who. And the third person that God was going to use in this area was those that he gave a talent to that had not been used. So we see the workman. Now, the second thing I want to see tonight is the equipment of a workman. Look back at verse 3. Verse 3 says, And I have filled him with spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. So we see that Bezalel was called by name, and he was filled with the spirit of God. And then look on down at verse 6, first part of verse 6. "And behold, I have given with him Eliab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan." Now hold your place there and turn over, if you would, to Exodus 38, 23. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 23, we will see. Here's some things about him. And with him was Eliab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan. We see here what the Lord gave him: an engraver, cutting workman, embroidery in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. So we see that God had blessed him with these things as well. So we see that Bezalel was blessed, Eliab was blessed. And then look at the last part of verse 6, back to Exodus chapter 31. The last part of verse 6 said, in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make, that they make all that I command thee. So we see here that the Lord had gave them wisdom as well. So we see that God called these people. And we see the second thing is that God had equipped these folks. And then look at over at verse 11. We see their assignment. And anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, they shall do. We see that they was to do all they were commanded to do. And then look at number 4. We see a look at the workman's warning. Number 4, look on down in verse. Where do I want to start? Okay, verse 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou unto all the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath you shall fill, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord that doeth sanctify you." Again, it is written to the Jews. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. So what we see here so far is we see that there's a great job to do. There's a job that God gave Moses the instructions for. And then God begins to work in the hearts of the folks and prepare them. Now, Romans 15:4 says, "All things written for us are written for our learning." I believe if we stop tonight and if we step back and look at these few simple facts that we just went over, very basic. In fact, can you read the verse where it calls Eliab? I mean, the first guy, it's Bezalel. Verse 2, I believe it is. Okay, Brother Booker, can you stand up? Okay, first guy, he calls and he equips him to do the job. And then, Brother Clark, can you go on down to the second guy? Okay, Brother Mick, can you stand up? He calls and he equips another guy. And then Brother Clark, can you read the last phrase, the last section of verse 6, please? Okay, and the hearts of all with all the wise hearted. Can your whole row stand up? We're gonna have a activity. Okay, the hearts of all the wise hearted with God called. Not only did God call these folks, but He filled them with the with the Spirit of God and of workmanship, so they could fulfill all of their calling. Then God gave them a warning. It says, and be careful, guard the Sabbath. Look back at Exodus chapter 20, verse. Can y'all just stand up just for a little bit? Exodus chapter 20. I mean Exodus chapter 31. Verse 13, it says, speak thou unto all the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. That I may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you. So he called them, he enabled them, he gave them what to do, all things that they was commanded. That's what they were supposed to do. And then he warned, he said, but guard the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a sign between God and the Jews. He said that you don't forget that I am the Lord God that sanctifies you. Don't forget I am the Lord God that sanctifies you. These folks were all called. They were enabled. They was given a command or a commission, and they were given a warning as well. I think all four of those things can be applied to our lives this evening. So just for a short little bit, I want to go over those four things and how I think they affect our lives. Okay, you guys can sit back down. Thank you very much. I believe the first lesson that I can learn from this account here is that God uses all types in His work. There are some folks that are very quiet. Some folks are very loud. There's all types of the Word of God. We see here one of these men was the grandson of Hur. He was a leader of the he's one of the leaders of the tribe of Judah. We see another guy was from the tribe of Dan. They were a very popular tribe. We see that God used both men. We see throughout the Bible that God used doctors and lawyers and with doctors and lawyers and fishermen and tax collectors. We see that God used all type of folks. The second thing I can learn is that God has designed all of us to serve Him. God has designed, if you're in this room tonight and you're designed to serve God, God has equipped you. We're all wise hearted. We're all equipped to serve God. If you would turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. We see, number one, we learned that God uses all types. And this is the second thing that we learned this evening is that we're all designed to serve God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For one is given by Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's not the verse I want. I'm in the right chapter. It talks about we're all one body. Okay, if as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, but so also is Christ. You know, church, we're all wise. Sorry, with God has placed every one of us here in the church for a reason. We're all different. Some people are like my wife. They're very loud. They're very outgoing. They're very stubborn. Some people are like me. They're quiet and they're shy and they're backward. They never exaggerate. Some people are like that. We're all different. But whatever we are, God put us here for a reason. Brother Davis is here for a reason. Pastor Burke is here for a reason. We are pastor. Brother Haley's here for a reason. I mean, Miss Hiles is here for a reason. Miss Teresa's here. We're all here for a reason. God has a plan for us, and this evening showed that plan. This evening, when we took our mask off a little bit, we opened our hearts up and we shared our prayer request. That encouraged others. When we took time to praise God for what He's done in our lives, that encouraged others. Because we're all here for a reason. There's no one unimportant in the house of God. There's no one unimportant. I remember what's this looking face illustration I used Sunday in Hope. It was several years ago everyone had discussed it in many years. And the other day I mentioned it in the sermon, and he knew exactly what it was. Brother Wilson, I was going through a very hard time. It was something that I thought no man could help, no man could know, no man could understand. I thought there's nobody that can understand what I'm going through. And I was brokenhearted. I was literally, I can't explain how I felt. And I prayed, and the Lord just impressed upon me to go share my burden with Brother Wilson. It wasn't a burden that anything could fix except prayer. And I went to Brother Wilson. I said, Brother Wilson, I said, I don't remember what I said. But I said, I'm hurting. You know, something like this, I'm hurting. Can you pray about this? And when I said those words, he started crying. He hugged me. He said, I know exactly how you feel. I'm there too. And he hugged me. We stood back in that office and we just hugged. God put him there that day to comfort me. He had to take a mask off and show me an area of his life. I've known him for many years, and I didn't know what he shared with me that day. He took his mask off, and he shared with me what helped me. Folks, we're all different here tonight. We're all different. But God has a plan for our lives. God's equipped us here in our church for a reason. Just as God had a plan in the tabernacle, God's got a plan for a church. Just as God called people to the tabernacle to do the work, so God calls people to our church to get the work done. Not only did He call them, but He equipped them. Let's allow God to use us. The first point was that God called them. The second point, we see that God equipped them as He does us. Matthew 28, 19. And hold your place there. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And then back to Exodus. Chapter 30, or 31, I'm sorry. Back to Exodus 31, where we was. Exodus chapter 31. And look at verse... the last phrase of verse 6. Wise heart, I have put wisdom. that they make all that I have commanded thee. And then the last phrase of verse 11, according to all that I have commanded, they shall do. According to all I've commanded that they shall do, that they make that I have commanded thee. Now turn back over to Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Amen. Not only did God called us like He did them, God equipped us like He did them, but also God has given us a command or a great commission. He gives a command to do all these things. Our command is found here in this book. To do all things He has commanded us to do. As Christians, our responsibility is to do all that He commands us to do. If God calls Brother Shane to a ministry in the church, that means that He's already got that ability. He's wise-hearted. And if He gives it to God, that God will take and fill Him and use Him in that ministry. Whatever God calls us to do, whatever He commands us to do, He will give us whom God calls, He enables. And folks, if God speaks your heart about a ministry or something that we ought to do, let's don't back up on God and let's don't trust God. Let's say, God, if that's your will, that's what I want. I think of Christ, Father, thy will be done. Wouldn't it be great if all of us Christians, I think us Christians, if we all could say, Lord, thy will be done, and mean it in every area of my life. See, it's one thing to say, Lord, thy will be done. But when it comes time for the Lord to take a loved one home, it's hard to say, Lord, thy will be done. When it comes time, when you're sitting there and you're in a crisis, you're in a storm, and you're saying, God, deliver me from the storm. But Lord, thy will be done. We should want more than anything else God's will for our lives. Our Lord God is a great and mighty God. He's a powerful God. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. All the good that you can say about Him, He is those things. Because He loves Brother Shane, He wants only the best for Brother Shane. He wants the very best for him. He's a friend. He wants the best for his friend. Brother Shane ought to say, Lord, thy will be done. But it's easy for us to say it when the shoe's on the other foot. But when the shoe's on my foot, and the burden's heavy, and the night's long, and the night's dark, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, it's kind of hard to say, Lord, thy will be done. But that's what God wants. He wants us to trust Him. So we're called, we're enabled, we have a command. And then the last point, go back to Exodus chapter 30 again. Exodus chapter 30. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 31. And then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, Verily, verily, at my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout all generations, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. But you shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it's holy unto everyone, it's holy unto you. For everyone that defileth it shall be surely put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. The last phrase in verse 13 says, that you may know that I am the Lord, I'm the Lord that does sanctify you. Here Moses is going back down. He's got an tremendous task to set before the people. Things they have never done, they have to do. They have to build a structure that they've never seen the likes of. gold and silver, all kind of tapestry that is embroidered. It's just, you can't describe what they have to build. They have a zeal for God. And God, He called them, He enabled them, He gave them the command, but He gave them a warning. Be careful. Take time to obey the Sabbath. That you know I am the Lord that sanctifies you. May we be careful and not get so busy in the work of God that we forget the God of the work. I'll be honest with you. My greatest fear for my ministry is this. And I pray if it happens, God removes me. I really do. My greatest fear is this, that my ministry will become a job. And I get so accustomed to come to the house of God that I come in and I sit in the seat when Pastor's preaching and I sit there, my mind's everywhere else, the things I should be doing or things that I could be doing or things I'm doing tomorrow. And I'm so used to being here at church. I don't come in here with ears to hear for God to speak to my heart. I've become the church here now for a lot of years. I've sat in the pew for a lot of years. I've been on staff 1990. April 1st, 1990, because when Doug gave me my first paycheck, he said April Fool's. I don't want my ministry to be my job. I don't want that. Pastor preached the other night on hard-heartedness. I don't want to be hard-hearted in the ministry. I don't want to lose the ability to hurt when people hurt, to cry when they cry, to be able to encourage them, to love them, pray for them, be there with them. But more than that, I don't want to lose hearing God speak. I don't want to lose the fact that God wants to speak to me as much now as He did the day I got saved when I was 15 years old. I don't want to lose the fact that God wants to use me as much now as He did as a young person. I don't want to lose the ability to be so used to coming to God's house, starting at a certain time, getting done at a certain time, that when the prayer request, when it goes long, I'm sitting here thinking, man, it's been a long time. It's almost 8 o'clock. And I'm sitting here and God's using folks to encourage my heart, and He's working in my life, and I'm so concerned about getting out of here that I miss what God is wanting to teach me at that time. When we come to the house of God, let's don't forget the Lord God that sanctifies us. This place is holy not because of the structure. This is not the church. It's when God's people come into this house and we begin to open our hearts to each other and we share our prayer requests and our praise and we share the word of God. And God begins to tug and speak in our hearts. And God comes down and you say, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. He wants that every service for us. But He knew the children of Israel would be so busy in the work of God, they'd be so busy, they had such a great task to do, He wanted them to keep in mind, I'm the Lord God that sanctifies you. Folks, tonight I believe we should take a warning as well. He is the Lord God that sanctifies you. He's the Lord God that sanctifies me. When I come to God's house, I've been coming here since I was 12, Mom, 11, 12 years old. I'm not 12. It's easy. I'll be honest with you. It's easy for that to become a ritual. It'd been easier for the children of Israel to be in the ritual. God warned them. And God uses their illustration to warn us as well. Don't allow coming to church to be a ritual. Don't allow taking time to read the Word of God to be a ritual. It should be fresh and new every morning. Something that I long to spend time in. I long to take time to spend in prayer, just God and I. But if we're not careful, folks, it can be a ritual. Tonight, a few questions and then I'm done. Question number one. Am I allowing God to use me as He sees fit? If tonight, during the time when we had prayer requests and praise, if God spoke, we'll pick on Ms. Peters. If God spoke to Ms. Peters about a certain testimony she should give, and she says, no, I can't give that. But she knows she should give it. She's not allowing God to use her. She's holding back on God. Are we allowing God to use us? He equipped us. He wants to use us. As we allow Him to use us, He blesses us. Last question is this. Have we allowed our lives to get so used to God and His house and His Word and the privilege of prayer that I don't do it justice? When I come to the house of God, I sit there half-hearted. When I read the Word of God, I read it in a hurry sometimes just to get it done so I feel better about reading the Bible that day. I rush in prayer and I rush out of prayer because I got so much to do. I come to the house of God with so many things on my mind when the Word of God is taught or preached that I leave here and I can't tell you what was said in the service. If that's the case, we need to stop. We need to step back and say, Lord God, forgive me. Lord, help me to allow You to use me any way You see fit. Lord, help me to fulfill the commission for my life that You gave me. And Lord, most of all, Lord, I don't want Your house to be a place that I come to, nor Your Word a place that I come to, nor the throne of grace that I come to without realizing the price that was paid. This week, as we saw the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the blood that was shed, so much blood. They daily brought sacrifices. And they could, and the people could not even go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could. But now, I put my faith and trust in Christ to be my Savior. And I can go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have that privilege, yet I don't do it. Shame on me. Tonight, let's ask God. I'm asking myself, Lord, take me and use me. Thy will be done. Lord, help me not become so accustomed to the nice things we have that I come in and I rush out. Lord, help me to realize the privilege it is to come boldly before the throne of grace and come before an almighty, holy God and bow the knee. Like Brother Bob said, so much power in prayer. But yet we dismiss it so flippantly. Let's take time to pray. Take time one for another. As God lays things, Brother Headley mentioned a guy tonight that I had not thought, I'll be honest with you, since that week he was on our prayer request, or when it was, when he's off our prayer list. Is he still on our prayer list? Oh, I didn't think. You know, I hadn't thought about that man. Chris Bell. God used him to remind me tonight about that. Do we have ears to hear?